Hello and thanks once again for taking the time to download and listen to a podcast from CelticUnderground.net. I'm Harry Brady and this week we have an interview from young St. Anthony. Yes, the season may be over, but the podcast just keep on coming. This is the 10th year of football's longest running fans podcast, and next season, following 10 obviously, will be number 11, and I want to make a couple of changes to that. So first of all, if you've got a band and you want to get some music on the podcast, then just drop me an email to podcasts@celticunderground.net. That's podcasts@celticunderground.net. Send me an email of the music file or send me a link to the music file on your own website or whatever, or if you want to do something, send me a Dropbox link or some way of getting the music file across to me, and we'll use your tune. Also, we are looking to have a wee bit more interaction from yourselves, so if you have a Celtic story, a story about your first Celtic game or an important Celtic game or some sort of Celtic event, and you want to record it, get it into a 10 minute audio file. Again, stick it in Dropbox or email it to me or some other way of getting it across to us. podcasts@celticunderground.net. So podcasts, plural, @celticunderground.net. And just, yeah, it might be your first game, it might be a game you didn't even attend because you were at your own wedding or whatever it is. Just a 10-minute story about the Celtic game that's most important to you. Anyway, enough of that. Coming up now, we have St. Anthony chatting away to Mr. Jim Delahunt. It's another excellent chat from St. Anthony, so hopefully you enjoy it and I'll speak to you after it.
It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jim Delahunt, who needs no introduction. Jim's a very popular guy on all aspects of the media, from television to radio to newspapers. So welcome, Jim. Thanks for coming along.
Thank you very much.
And the first question we always ask on the site is, what was your first Celtic game you attended and who was your first Celtic hero?
Kilmarnock against Celtic, it was at Rugby Park, and Kenny Dalglish scored, I think he scored 6 goals that night, and we actually thought it was a guy called Vic Davidson, who a lot of Celtic fans will remember as well, but it turned out the next day it was Kenny Dalglish, and I've since spoken to him about it, and he couldn't believe he scored 6 goals that night either, so it was quite an interesting night. It was Rugby Park, good crowd, Frank Beattie's testimonial, and my dad took me along. That was the first ever Celtic game I was taken to.
And who would your first Celtic hero have been as a boy then?
I don't know if I had any Celtic heroes, but along the road from me in Saltcoats lived Bobby Lennox, and Bobby was a terrific trainer. And us kids used to be down the beach watching them train, and so I suppose I didn't know any other players, so Bobby Lennox was undoubtedly the first guy that I got to know, and the first guy that I really appreciated was an excellent player, and Bobby, as you all know, went on to play for years and years and years, and he was so fit, and we as kids in Saltcoats just really appreciated how fit and how well he was in those days.
Yeah, Bobby is synonymous with Saltcoats, really. You know, having the pub there through the years and all the other things.
That's right. Yeah, Bobby's Bar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're well known, probably best known for being in the TV, but how did you start off in the media? How did you first get involved?
I was actually in a snooker hall in Saltcoats, and a chap came up to me and said, I hear you do a bit of writing, which I did at the time, and he said, how do you fancy being a full-time journalist? And he gave me a job on the Kilmarnock Free Press, and from there I went to West Sound Radio, and from West Sound Radio I went to the Daily Winner, and from the Daily Winner I went to Radio Clyde for the first time, not the last time, and from Radio Clyde I went to STV, and I was 16 years at STV, and then I moved to Setanta, and then I did some stuff for ESPN, and I went back to Radio Clyde and did 5 years there. And I've now been 6.5 years at the Scottish Sun.
So you've been around then, fair to say. Which medium would you prefer then? If you had to pick one, say for example the TV or the radio, which one would you prefer?
I wouldn't pick either. I mean, I love writing, I love broadcasting. Whichever one comes along is the one I want to do. At the moment it's writing, and if a broadcast job comes up in the next few months, you never know, I'd be delighted to take that as well.
So in your early days in Scotsport then, you know, Jim White was the main man, and you came along and sort of replaced him, and you're obviously a Celtic fan, and Jim's renowned as being a big Rangers man. Did you ever kid on each other about the games, or are you too professional for that behind the scenes?
I love the way that I'm supposed to be a Celtic man, but I mean, I was brought up in a Celtic supporting household, but I never actually went to the games. And I know for a fact that Jim never went to Rangers games either, because he was always too busy. We never had any banter about that or anything like that, so we always had a good relationship, and we still do.
So, as I said there, you're probably best remembered for presenting Scotsport through the years. So, what's your memories, fond memories do you have, particularly of the Champions League nights, which are very, very exciting?
The Champions League nights were fantastic. I remember having Kenny Dalglish on one night, a couple of nights at Celtic Park doing live Champions League games. And there was one particular night where Kenny said to me, what about the pies, Jim? And I said, oh, we'll get pies at half time. And he went, no, I fancy a pie now. And this was before the game even started. So we managed to get Kenny a couple of pies. And at half time, he said, what about the pies? And I said, well, we'll get you another couple of pies. So we got him another couple of pies. And at full time, he said, I'm really looking forward to my fish supper on the way home. I said, Kenny, you said four pies. He said, ah, you're right enough. I think I'll just have a single fish. Some man.
Well, these days when footballers are encouraged to eat pasta and, you know, have a healthy lifestyle, it's kind of weird to think that the best Scottish player of all time is firing into pies and fish suppers.
He certainly loved his pies and he loved his fish supper, I'll tell you.
So, you know, when you're doing live TV in particular, it must be very, very difficult. Has there been any wee mistakes that you've made on air? The reason why I'm bringing it up is that there's two that I always remember that are related to Scotsport. I don't know if it was in your time. One might have been just before your time and one was in your time. There was one that Rangers scored at Ibrox against Celtic, David Robertson, and Jerry McNeigh thought it was a goal. And it even came up on the screen that it was a goal. You know, that was hugely confusing to everybody concerned. Another one sort of relates to Jerry as well, because unknown to me, because I was at the game the night that Nakamura scored the winner for Celtic against Man United in the Champions League. Celtic had qualified, and apparently Jerry said that Celtic still needed a point in the next game, where everybody was saying, well, you know, that's not the case. But I'm not criticising there, I'm just giving you examples, because it must be really hard.
I was in Scotsport both times you mentioned, and yes, these things happen on live TV, but I don't remember any particular one, apart from there was one night that I took Ron Atkinson out for lunch in Marseille when Rangers were going to play Marseille way back in 1991-92. And I spent at the time quite a lot of money on him, and the whole idea was that he would come on with me at tea time on Scotland Today and do the show. And I remember Shireen saying, well, let's go live to Marseille, Shireen Nanjiani, let's go live to Marseille and join Jim Delahunt, who's been joined by Ron Atkinson. of the French Foreign Legion picked up and completely drowned out myself and Ron Atkinson, and I'm afraid that whatever amount of money I spent on him was a complete waste of time that day, because nobody in Glasgow or in Scotland heard any of what we had to say.
Well, it's funny you're mentioning that you were in Marseille. That's quite a glamorous place to go. So really the next question would be, of all the places you've been fortunate enough to travel to, which one impressed you the most?
Let me tell you, Marseille is not glamorous. Marseille is a town on the south coast of France, and it is not glamorous at all. It's pretty rough. But the best place I ever was we spent 2 weeks in Sweden for Euro 92. Scotland Today and Scotsport basically put us up for 2 weeks in Sweden. We were in a place called Norrköping. We were about to go to Stockholm, but sadly Scotland never qualified. That was a fantastic time, and we had 2 great weeks in Sweden. Really enjoyed ourselves there.
Now, Scotsport no longer exists, very sadly. I think it held the record for being the longest sports show on television, and it's really sad because most of us, but we grew up with memories of Arthur Montford and Ian Archer and people like that, you know, and the Sunday afternoons watching the highlights on the TV. Now, without being too critical, STV don't really invest much in Scottish football at the moment. Do you think there's a moral duty there as one of the national broadcasters that they should be getting more involved?
I wouldn't get involved in that argument, but I certainly think that we as a nation should have more football coverage, more live football coverage on a terrestrial basis. I also think that it's ridiculous that Match of the Day can be on Saturday night on BBC One England, and we cannot get Sports Scene till Sunday night on BBC Scotland. I just think that is just crazy, absolutely unbelievable, and hopefully somebody will put that right.
Yeah, you make a fair point there, because I've got a 12-year-old and I would like nothing better than a Saturday night. You know, obviously Sunday's not a school day, so he gets staying up, up a wee bit later, and I feel sorry for him sometimes, because it's on so late on a Sunday that you're saying, well, you know, you've got school tomorrow. There must be kids all over the country frustrated who are getting sent to their bed and would love to watch the football. So
I've got an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old, and the 8-year-old is the son, and he's the football man, and he doesn't see the Saturday football till a Monday night, because we tape it for him, because it's far too late on a Sunday, because he's going to school the next day, so we tape it for him and we let him see it on a Monday night. I just think that's not very helpful at all.
You also have to ask what other nation would put up with another country's football being on in peak time television rather than your own national league. It's a crazy situation.
I've got no complaints whatsoever about Match of the Day, but I do not see why Scottish football cannot be on a Saturday night. I really don't.
Now, after Scotsport, I think you moved to Setanta. Now, were you kind of disappointed that Setanta and Scottish football never really hit it off? I think it was a couple of years, and it sort of.
I signed a 4-year contract, and I think I did 2.5 before it closed down. But the good thing for me was I did French football, German football, Dutch football, and Scottish football. So it certainly broadened my horizon. So yes, I've got complaints about the way they treated us at the end, but. No complaints about broadening my horizons, because I certainly enjoyed myself doing the French, Dutch and German.
They tell me there's still a Setanta Ireland, would that be the case?
Sorry?
There's still a Setanta Ireland channel, is that the case? Yeah,
the company which paid us all off and closed down was Setanta Transmissions UK Limited. So they closed that company down and kept going in Ireland.
So in the years that you were the anchor man in Scotsport in particular for a good number of years, and Setanta and the other stations, did you have a favourite co-presenter through the years? I know you mentioned Kenny there, but was there one that maybe you hit it off with more than the others?
To be honest, the guy you mentioned earlier, I loved working with Jeremy Nee. Thoroughly enjoyed working with Jeremy. I did bits and bobs with Jim White, and I did bits and bobs with Ken McRobb and Paul I was presenter of Scotsport for 8 years. Between myself, Jim White, and Arthur Montford, I think we covered about 40 years on that particular programme before one or two others took over before it died a very slow death.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. Sports scene in Scotsport are part of the Scottish psyche. As football fans, it's sad to think what became of them. Now, racing apparently is a thing that you enjoy, and I believe you rode as an amateur jockey.
I did ride as an amateur, yeah. I had a licence for 7 years. I used to do some cross country and some show jumping before I got a licence. But people say you're an amateur jockey. You're not actually an amateur jockey. You're an amateur rider. You're not a time served jockey. But I thoroughly enjoyed doing what I did, and it was a great experience for me, and it stood me in good stead in terms of what I do now in terms of the Scottish Sun.
And you give out tips as well, and you're fairly up to date with the horses. I understand that. I have to say, I have to confess before I go any further here that I don't know the front of a horse for the back of a horse, but the guys that I know say that you're quite sharp with the tips in the newspapers.
Well, we're quite sharp with the tips, but we've also fallen off a few, so I think that's probably that probably helps to understand the actual game. So I've been kicked by a few horses in my time. I've been bitten by a few horses in my time, and all stands you in good stead for actually tipping them later on.
Now, the only time I remember winning a bet in a horse, it was a Grand National in 1979. Do you remember Rubsnick?
I do remember Rob.
There was a Scottish connection there, was there not?
He was trained by a guy called John Ledbetter.
Right.
Who I think trained in or close to Selkirk, but he's certainly Scottish trained.
Well, that's my claim to fame. That was only the time I ever put money in a horse and it won. So know that I bet very often. And
delighted for you there.
The other thing I was going to say, kind of interesting, is your Wikipedia page says that you had a short stint as Inter Milan groundsman. Are you aware of that, and where the hell is that coming from?
Listen, that is utter rubbish. I have been told that several... I don't look at Wikipedia, but I've been told that several times that I was a groundsman. I thought it was AC Milan. Is it Inter Milan?
I've got it down as Inter Milan, yeah.
Right. I've been told I was a groundsman at AC Milan, which is utter nonsense. I don't know who put that on, and somebody really should take it off.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, you know. When I obviously did a wee bit of research here and I read that, and I thought, surely, you know, that doesn't seem quite the thing.
No, I've been in Italy on holiday, but not working. Oh. So I can assure you that is utter nonsense.
So, moving on to radio a wee bit, when you did the Radio Clyde stuff each night, and I know Jerry McCullough does it these days, is it difficult when you're not quite sure what the guy's going to ask you? I know that you do, you've got researchers there that ask what's the question, but there must be some guys through the years that maybe don't say what you think they're going to say.
Nobody ever knew what the question was going to be. You know, there's this myth that you've got the questions listed in front of you, but you didn't. Whoever came through just said something or asked something, and we had no idea what they were going to ask.
So it's a mixed bag then. It could be anything, literally.
It could be anything, yeah. And as I say, I've been away from that for a long time and not really yearning for it.
And so that leads me to say then, what does the future hold for Jim Delahunt then?
We'll just need to see, mate. We'll just need to see.
Now,
see who phones.
At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Maybe if you go back to that snooker hall in Saltcote, somebody will come in and get you again.
Well, maybe that's a good idea, so I might try that.
Now, we'll finish in Celtic again. Ronnie Dial has moved on, and a lot of people reckon that he was a wee bit unlucky in some ways, and I think there's other guys are happy to see the back of him. But Brendan Rodgers now coming in is really big news, especially in a small pool of Scottish football. But what's your take on that? Were you surprised?
Not surprised at all, and I think Brendan Rodgers will be a great appointment for Celtic. I think Ronnie Ryle did a very good job while he was there, and I'm sure that Brendan, as my son, who's a Liverpool fan, calls him, will do a great job as well. So I don't have any big take on it, but I'm sure Brendan Rodgers will do a good job at Celtic.
And what about Celtic last season? Did you see much of them TV wise? Were you impressed with what you saw, or were you sort of a wee bit underwhelmed?
To be honest, they did the job in getting the League One. Aberdeen, I thought, were poor. The Cup's very poor indeed from a Celtic point of view. And all the talk at the start of the season about treble was utter nonsense. But they got the League One, that's five in a row, and good luck to them trying to get six.
And do you think there'll be a big clear out at Celtic Park? Can you see Brendan coming in and making a lot of changes, or do you think it'll be a wee bit at a time?
Hard to say, because I think he'll come in and he'll have his own opinions and see how he gets on, but very difficult for me to say at the moment. I mean, I haven't spoken to Brendan Rodgers, and apart from Scott Brown, I don't know too many of the players, so we'll just need to wait and see what happens.
And in terms of budget, do you see Celtic loosening the purse strings slightly? Because I think maybe the criticism in the last few years is there's been the phrase everyone uses is downsizing, you know, and we're now in a situation where I think we need, most of us maybe think that we need to aim a wee bit higher. Can you see maybe a higher standard of player coming in then?
Well, you're now paying a manager £45,000 a week. So I think the purse strings have been loosened.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully that could be maybe reflected in the playing side as well. And you know, what?
I was throwing back at you. Do you really need to pay players £30,000 a week?
Well, I think the criticism that Celtic are judged these days in the European arena rather than the SPL. You know, it used to be, if you think back a few years ago when Rangers had Larson and Gascoigne and Weed, Moravchik and Larson, then it was an exciting league race. But the last few years, even before Rangers had their troubles, Celtic were winning it quite comfortably. So, you know, but now that we're getting into the European arena, there is quite a big rise in class, that you're playing teams of a higher standard. So in order to get there and get the 10, 15, 20 million pounds, whichever figure you believe, then you maybe just need a couple of these, you know, a couple more better players.
Yeah, maybe you've got a good point. Yeah, maybe.
So that brings us to the end then, Jim, just to say thanks very much for joining us and being a good sport and coming along, and whatever you go into in the future, just to wish you all the very best.
It's been a pleasure, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
I'm sure you enjoyed yet another excellent chat between St Anthony, and this week it was Jim Delahunt. There will be more podcasts along before we get to the season starting and the Champions League qualifiers of the 12th, 13th of July. Anyway, meantime, we have some Celtic Foundation events. First of all, congratulations to everybody who took part in the Help Pilgrimage. The next event coming up is the Celtic FC Foundation Golf Day, which I believe there may be one or two places left. So if you're at all interested in hitting a driver down the middle of a fairway at Renfrew Golf Club, then get in contact with Celtic FC Foundation and you'll be able to participate in that. There's loads of Celtic FC Foundation things coming up, so as I say, if you're interested, get on the web and get started. Meantime, just enough time for me to say, this was me, Harry Brady, that was him, St Anthony with him, Jim Delahunt. Good night, and God bless.
This fight, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick. Too fast! You're too fast!
The king is going home to get his throne.
Yeah, when I get to Africa, we gonna get it on because we don't get alone.
So we try to get the champions of the sports world, champions of the music world.
You know, it was handsome, it was articulate, it was funny, and was whooping ass too.
George Foreman was a phenomenon.
The big bad monster, and no one can whoop him.
We're gonna fly in the air till we get to Zaire.
This chump has got everybody scared.
They thought he would take one of the world's worst beatings ever, and he wouldn't give up.
Scared of what?
In a time of courage in the jungles of Zaire.
I like to tell children of the world, quit eating so much candy. We must whip Mr. Tooth Decay. I got one right here, one right here.
A man named Mohammed created his own destiny.
I mean, kill him.
This is his moment of truth.
Kids today will be missing a whole lot if they don't know about the legacy of Muhammad Ali, because no matter what era you live in, you see very few true heroes.
You out, sucker.